So today you want to talk about goal setting, and you wrote a goal setting book quite a few years ago now. I remember interviewing
about it. 6 years ago, I think.
Six years ago.
But it's still applicable now. And I thought, because it's the end of the, coming up for the end of the year, it's only a month away, isn't it, the end of the year. And this is a time when traditionally people set goals or resolutions for the next year, and then, you know, if they set a resolution on the 31st of December, and it's usually over by the 3rd of January.
That's a story. I must admit, I don't do that, but... Maybe that's – have you done that at times?
Yeah, I have at times. I've done that at times. But it's kind of like I think when people set a goal, they just go, oh, this is the goal, blah, and then they don't do anything about it. And it's you know, you have to do something. It takes some action. Otherwise, it's just words on paper. And sometimes people don't even write them down, you know, so they're just – well, they have too many. There's lots of things that people do that stop them from getting what they want, you know.
Some of it just sounds like a wish.
Yeah, it's a wish, and so, you know, I'm going to have this, you know, by whatever, and then that's it, and then nothing happens, and so nothing happens.
So you've written a book explaining, or giving processes, I guess.
Well, it's a process, there's really only one technique, but the problem is, well, it's not a problem really with goal setting, is there's actually quite a lot involved, and people just think, oh, you write it down, and then, you know, you plan every step out, but it's actually a lot more than that. So I thought today maybe I'd go over the key points of it and then go over some of them in detail, because this is where I find that people get tripped up, you know, and then don't achieve their goals. So I've used an acronym of PERFECT, P-E-R-F-E-C-T, and so those are the seven steps, if you like. So the first one is positively and precisely stated. And so sometimes people set goals and they think they're positive, but they're actually not. So I'll come back to it in a minute. The next one is the evidence procedure. So, like, how will you know that you've got the goal? What are you going to see and hear and feel and taste and smell and say to yourself when you've actually got this goal? What's your evidence that you've actually got it? Then the next one is resources. What resources have you got to achieve the goal? So this could be like, well, I've got a computer and I've got a car, so if I'm going to do this course at university, I can get there and I can work on it. What other resources do you need? Might be, well, I need books, I need some money to go and enrol, or, you know, whatever. So those are what we call resources.
Yeah.
And the next one is the first steps identified. So what are the first few steps? And you only really need 3 or 4 steps, because people think, oh, I've got to have this and that, and then, you know, but it's not that way at all. You only need the first 3 or 4. And once you've got the first 3 or 4 and you work on those, the other steps will become apparent as you get closer to the goal. Then the next one is energy, effort and enthusiasm. So how are you going to sustain your energy and effort and enthusiasm over the time it takes to get the goal? Right. And then the next one is to make sure that the goal is compatible with other areas of your life. Because sometimes people set goals and it's like, well, that doesn't even fit with who they are as a person, you know, that they've got commitments. And it's their choice, because sometimes people set goals that are other people's choices, like my parents want me to be blah, blah, blah. So that's the goal, right? Mm. So, you know, they might achieve it, but it's not going to be an enjoyable process because they don't really want it in the first place. It's what their parents or somebody else wants. And then the last one is timed and dated. Yeah. So you have a date, including the year, because otherwise your mind puts it in the future all the time. If you just put, like, I want this by the 31st of December, is that this year or next year or 2026 or when is it?
And what if you've just gone through all that and it just feels, oh, it's too much? You know, like, what does that mean?
Well, if it feels too much, it means that it's either too big a goal, or they haven't gone through a process to define it. So that's what I think what happens with people set resolutions, like the goal on 31st of December or whenever it is, the goal is, I don't know, let's say get a university degree. Right, and so that's it, that's all they write down. And so let's say that they left school at 15 without any qualifications, and so they suddenly decided they're going to get a degree, and it's like, well, it probably seems overwhelming, like they haven't got any qualifications at all and now they want to do a degree. Mm. So they haven't got the steps there. So it might be, you know, like if I was coaching somebody, I'd say, okay, if that seems overwhelming, what might be something halfway between where you are now and the degree? And it might be, well, there's a certificate course. Okay, well, what's that? Well, that's 2 years part-time. Okay, is that something that you could do? Well, even that might feel overwhelming, you know. So you go, okay, so what's something halfway between the certificate course and where you are now? And it might be, well, there's a six-week course at the local community centre. Okay, well, what about doing that one? So, but it's still leading them to that ultimate goal. But if that ultimate goal feels out of reach, then, it, you know, what happens is on 3rd of January, it's like, well, I can't do this because it just feels overwhelming and nothing happens.
I guess, too, you've got the steps, like...
Yeah, so if I go over these in a bit more detail. So those are the key points of the process. But then the next thing is, then if we go to the positively stated part, a lot of people think that they're setting a goal that's positively stated, but, you know, often they'll go, they'll tell you something that they don't want. So
there's something about our culture that we're
poor
at stating things positively.
Exactly. And so even listening for that, so they'll go, my goal is I don't want this job anymore. Right.
And that sounds like a positive move, but it's not stated positively.
No, it's not stated positively.
It'll feel like a positive move to not have the job anymore.
And so the thing is with that one then is that I don't want this job anymore. There's nothing for the mind to focus on apart from the job that they've got at the moment. And so when we think about what we want, what we really want, what we really, really want, to quote the Spoke Girls,
yes.
then what it does is activates this part at the back of the brain called the reticular activating system, the RAS.
Mm.
And what that does is it causes us to notice things that relate to what we want. So, for example, if you think to yourself, well, I want a brand new... I don't know, Toyota Corolla, a red brand new Toyota Corolla, you'll start noticing all the red Toyota Corollas that are out there where you didn't before you set the goal. Because now that part of your brain's going, oh, there's one, right? So
I think we all get that when we buy a car, unless we're a car person who's like always looking at cars.
Right, well, it's only because of that, though. So it doesn't have to be that. It could be, you know, a piece of clothing, and then you suddenly notice, oh, my God, there's all these people wearing the same kind of, you know, whatever it is that I've got. Or it doesn't really matter, whatever it is, you'll start noticing it. Or it'll start appearing on Facebook and you go, I only thought about that. How come it's on Facebook now? Well, it was probably there before. Hopefully it was there before, but you didn't notice
it. They're not actually reading our minds yet.
Not yet.
That's the plan, though. Isn't that? No, I'm not going to get sidetracked by that.
So then that's not a positive one. So it'd be like, okay, so what do you want instead of that then? So that's the question to ask yourself. So I want a new job. Okay, well, that's okay, but that's a bit vague, right? So it could be, okay, somebody says, well, come and dig holes in my garden, you know.
Yeah.
If your job is a gardener, that might be fine, but if you're working in an office, it might not be. So we'll come back to how you make it more precise in a minute. So another one that people say is that I want to lose 10 kg. So if you want to lose something, if you lose your purse or your bag or your wallet, the first thing you do is look for it. So... You know, what happens is you want to lose something, then you lose it, and then you look for it. And often people who have lost weight will tell you that they usually find it again.
Yeah. So how do you state that?
So I say to people, what do you want to weigh? Or how do you want to look and feel?
Right, that's the goal.
Yeah, so they might say, well, I want to weigh 65 kgs, for example. Okay, so that's the goal. So that's making it more positive, and then the mind can focus on that. And then another one is, I don't want to argue with my partner. So, again, that's stating negatively. So all that happens is they notice every time they're arguing with the partner, which seems to be more and more and more because that's what they're focused on now, instead of saying, I want a loving, caring relationship where we communicate openly and caringly or something.
Yeah.
And then this other one is interesting. I want to be debt-free or disease-free, so or cancer-free or whatever it is, right? So, again, you've still got the negative words in there, and so your mind's still focused on that, your unconscious mind. So your conscious mind is going, I want to be debt-free, I want to be disease-free, I want to be cancer-free, but your unconscious mind is still going, okay. What happens is when we say that, the unconscious mind takes out the negative words, so you're left with, I want to be debt, I want to be disease, I want to be... cancer-free, right?
So you can say, I want to be healthy, you can say, I want to be financially free, I guess.
Financially free, financially
free
abundant.
The word free feels good.
Yeah, I want to be free. I want to be financially free. I want to be happy, healthy.
But I know there's going to be people out there going, Steph, is it really that easy just saying the words
No, it's only the first part of it. But see, if you don't get that right, the rest of it's not going to work. if you don't state what you want positively, then your mind's going to keep going after what you don't want. And you'll keep noticing what you don't want. And then by January the 3rd, you'll be going, this is a waste of time.
yeah. I think probably for some people it is a significant thing to try to start saying things, viewing things from that positive perspective.
It is. That's why it's in the book. Because I get so many people, I go, okay, so let's set a goal then. And nearly always they'll start with a negative goal.
Hmm.
And so that's the first thing. That's why it's the first thing, the first P, positively stated.
Yeah.
Actually, positive and precisely stated. So we've got positive. So let's. For example, I don't want to do this job anymore. Then, you know, you're focusing on your current job, even though your goal is not doing your current job anymore. So you're likely to become more and more dissatisfied with your current job situation, which isn't going to help you get a new employer. Right? Want to lose 10 kg. So you'll look for them again. You'll look for the kgs any that you've lost. Not arguing with your partner, it means that you'll continue arguing because that's all you're thinking about. And then debt or disease-free, it's kind of like you want to be financially independent, probably is a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and similarly, how can you visualize disease-free? Without visualizing disease first? How can you visualize debt-free without visualizing debt first?
Yeah, and I mean, this is a we're talking about a vision. You're creating a vision.
Yeah, but your mind's doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you might not be aware of it, like you just made one then.
What? What did I do?
You just made a picture of something.
You watched where my eyes went, didn't you? What happened?
So when I said you can't visualize debt-free and you had to go at visualizing it.
Subconsciously.
And what did you visualize?
What, nothing.
Didn't have enough time.
Yeah, because it's probably part of this. My interview brain's on is like, I'll try that, but I've got to come back to this. I've got to do that. What about that? How's the timing going? What are the levels like?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit scattered sometimes.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So those examples I gave you then could be changed to I want a new job.
Yeah.
I want to weigh 69 kilos. I want a loving and respectful relationship with my partner. I want to be financially free, fit and healthy. Okay. But again, that's a great start, but they're not very precise, are they? You know.
No.
So the second part of that then is stating it precisely, like if you want a new job, what type of job do you want? What do you want to do? Where do you want to do it? What kind of environment do you want to work in? How much do you want to earn? So,
Have to have all that, like, specifically set down?
Well, it's useful if you want to attract something like that, because otherwise, if you just want a new job, as I say, somebody could say, oh, he's a job digging holes, but you're an accountant, so that might not be what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
So the example there could be, you know, change. I want to work in a magazine editing role for a large women's magazine based in New York City. That's like a big goal. Yep. Or I want to work in a team of skilled writers who value my editing ability.
Is it enough to say I want good pay? That's not enough, is it?
Well, in this one I've got, it's fast-paced, exciting and energetic environment with weekly deadlines. I'm earning at least 130K. So this is just an example, right?
And sometimes people have trouble stating a number, I reckon, or I would. There would be a thing I would have. But well, you're going to say that's important.
No, because for some people it's not important. You know, they might want to work in a charity where it's not important at all. That's what I mean. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
So you want to be as precise as you can. And then another thing that people do is they talk about goals in vague ways, like, I want to be more disciplined. That's the goal. Well, it's like
this is a very indisciplined goal.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, more disciplined than what? You know, are you going to, okay, if you put your pencil in your drawer tonight, is that going to mean you're more disciplined, you know? Or I want to eat less sugar. Well, less than what? You know, like, is it a teaspoonful less or is it cutting it out altogether? Want to be better organised. So there's, you know, when we say better or more, there's something missing, more than this or better than that or less than something else, but they miss the other part out. So we want to be specific in terms of, like, I want to reduce my sugar intake by 50% in the first month. and by 90% within 3 months. So that's very specific for sugar, right? I'm going to be more disciplined might become I'm going to be disciplined at my work by making sure I do my filing every Friday, deleting all the emails that have been in my inbox longer than a week, keeping journal notes of what I've done each day, timing how long it takes to do each task and then improving on that time.
Is that how you do that?
Pardon?
Is that how you do that?
Well, it's more specific, you see. So it's like, well, there is some, I mean, all of those things are like things that you can actually do and they don't take much time. So it's more likely that you're going to do that because it's like, oh, okay, well, that, if I'm going to be more disciplined and that's all I've got to do, well, that's, I can do those things.
Mm.
They're not difficult to do, right? So that means that they're measurable and that tells you whether you're getting there or not. You know, like if you don't do your filing every Friday, it's like, oh, I'm falling behind with that. I need to pick that up a bit because I'm getting a bit overwhelmed with all the filing I've got to do. So the key points for that is be specific about what you want. What do you want? When and where do you want it? What kind of environment do you want? So if it's a job situation, it might be you want to work in a lively office with people that have a good sense of humour. Or you might want to be in a back office on your own because, you know, you like to concentrate and work on the details and you don't want distractions all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's different. And then the other thing is sometimes people set performance improvement goals. So they want to be better guitarists, for example, or they want to be a better singer. And so it's not like there's an end to that necessarily. You're just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
So then you've got to set some things to practice, some times to practice. Like I'm going to practice this piece of music until I've got it perfect. So it might be a particular piece of music that you like doing. And what you have to do is short practice and when you make a mistake, you stop and notice what you've done. You don't just keep playing the same thing over and over again and hoping it's going to get better because you're just continuing rewiring the brain with called myelin, which makes it so that you just keep repeating the same
mistake.
You're wiring
the mistake in.
So you can set a practice goal like I'll practice playing my guitar 6 days a week for a minimum of 15 minutes each day. To begin with, I'll practice playing just the first 25% of the guitar solo in Hotel California until it sounds exactly the same as it does on the Eagles original, right? So that's pretty specific.
Yeah, yeah. So you're just getting rid of all the vagueness
and
the wishy-washiness. Yeah. You can't have a wishy-washy goal.
Right, yeah. Well, you can, but it's not usually going to work, right?
You can't, yeah, okay.
And then you've got to make sure that you set a real goal, as opposed to a pseudo goal. So a pseudo goal is really an emotional state. So people go, I say to them, what goal do you want? And they go, well, I just want to be happy, or I just want to be confident or relaxed or focused. Well, those are just states of mind and body. They're not goals. You can change those in about 5 minutes, right?
So we're still in the precisely part of this.
We're still in the first P. Exactly, you know.
Yeah, so, but this is the most important bit, probably.
Well, it is, because if you don't get this right, the rest isn't going to work, is it?
Right,
So then it's kind of like, because states change all the time, it's not going to work, you know. I mean, somebody says to me, I want to be confident, then I can help them fix that. I don't need to set a goal for that.
Okay, it's a different thing.
It's a different thing, so we do something else. But if they said something like, I want to be a confident, charismatic and engaging public speaker, then that's a bit different. So then we might go, okay, so that's a performance improvement goal, you know, so let's work on that. Or I want to feel relaxed and confident in my team meetings at work. You know, so that might be something about their emotion, but it also might be about preparation for those meetings.
Yeah.
So we'd have to explore that a bit more. So that's the first one. Oh, and then the other one is people all go, I'll be happy. I call them when I goals. So they'll say, I'll be happy when I leave school, pass exams, finish university, start work, finish work, get married, get divorced, have children leave home, retire, right?
Yeah.
So it's people's happiness is dependent on some kind of an event. Whereas you can just choose to be happy now. You don't have to wait for an event because there's always some other event that's going to be coming up that it'll be, well, when that happens, then I'll be happy.
And I guess what you're doing is you're practicing waiting to be happy.
Yeah, or when I get a new car, I'll be happy. Yeah, or when I get the house, I'll be happy.
And that could be a year away, so you're spending a whole year practicing not being happy.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so are we going to, is it easy, is getting the new car, is that magically going to break the habit of not being happy?
Well, what happens is when we get something like that, so let's say a goal is to get a new car. It's fine to have a new car, fine. So we get the new car, and if we've made that the reason to be happy, then we get the car and we're happy for, I don't know, 10 minutes, half an hour, 2 days, a week, and then we're back to the same state because we haven't learned how to be happy without things.
Yeah.
So it's a it's a when I or a thing goal. So sometimes it's also about choosing a goal that is for you and not just to look good to the neighbours or your friends or something, you know.
Well, that's another issue.
An ego kind of goal, you know. Oh, I want this Ferrari because everybody would be jealous of me, or they'll all think I've made it or something, you know. And it's like, well, who cares what other people think?
It's an external validation goal.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you want to avoid those as well.
Yeah.
Maybe. No,
well, it's kind of like recognizing that that might be what it is. Like if you want a Ferrari and that's like, that's just going to be really fun and I'll love it.
Yeah.
It's great. But if you're doing it for other reasons, like to impress people, well, is that really a good goal? Is that really something that you want, or is it just, as you say, external validation from other people?
Really what you want to be is free of the need to impress people.
Yeah.
If we could define that as a goal.
Yeah. So the next one then is to make sure that the goal is important to you. So I've got an example here of a young client who wanted to go to university and study accounting. The problem was he didn't seem to have any enthusiasm for the goal. So this is how our conversation went. So do you want this goal, Jim? My parents will be really happy I've got a degree. And why do you want your parents to be happy you've got a degree? Well, then I can get a well-paid office job. Okay, and what's the reason that you want a well-paid office job? They'll be proud of me working in an office. And why do you want them to be proud of you for working in an office? And Jim, I'll gain their approval. So at this point, Jim realised he had no passion for getting an accountant's degree, right? He was merely setting a goal that he thought would please his parents. And so, you know, a lot of people have done that. And sometimes they kind of grow into the job and they like it, but other times they just resent it and can't wait to get out of it, you know.
Sometimes they get lucky is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one then is the evidence, like how will you know you've got the goal? So this is
really... So I just want to recap. We're doing the perfect acronym.
Yeah.
And positively
and precisely stated, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to get that right before you move on to anything else.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now we're going to race through the other six because we can't spend that much time on every letter.
And by the way, also...
But I feel like you do need to spend that much time on that first...
You do, because that's the basis of it.
Yeah.
And also, just as a plug, this book is available at MADE and at the iHub. And there's only a few copies left, otherwise you've got to purchase it off Amazon when they've all gone. So if anybody wants it, it's $20. There you go, that's in my advertising. I'm not very good at marketing, am I? So then the evidence, how are you going to know whether you've got it down? So the first thing is writing it down. And as mentioned before, you know, specifically. So writing it down makes your goal that much better chance of achieving it. So researchers show that goals have a 25% greater chance of being successful if you write them down.
Huh.
But that's not the only thing. So having a clear description of what you want is important. And then you want to review your goals. So writing down your goals has a lot of benefits. You can be objective about it and clarify what you want. It's going to motivate you to take action. It makes it easier to revisit so you can establish the next steps, what they might be. It focuses your mind on the result, and then that again programs the RAS at the back of your brain to kind of notice opportunities that you could take. Mm. Gives you a way to evaluate which opportunities to pursue and which ones to steer away from, and you can measure your progress. So the next thing is, so this is a word that I've invented called centralising your goal.
What?
Centralising, yeah.
C-E-N?
No.
S-E-N?
S-E-N. So senses, using all your senses.
Oh, sense.
Yeah, centralising.
Centralising,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
So some people call it visualising, but it's a lot more than just seeing what you want. It's like I ask people to think about what it'll look like, which is the visual part.
Yeah.
And then imagine stepping into your body at the time that you've got the goal.
So what does it feel like?
What's it feel like? You know, how excited are you going to be? So if people go, oh, yeah, I'll be quite excited. It's like, well, okay, that first of all, they're not exactly imagining themselves in the body at the time they've got it because they'd be more excited.
Yeah.
And then what are they seeing and what are they hearing? What does it feel like in your body to have this goal? Are there any tastes and smells associated with it? So, for example, if it was to open a restaurant, there'd definitely be tastes and smells,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then what are you saying to yourself? And then also, you know, how does your voice sound when you speak out loud? So when you kind of imagine stepping into the end result of having the goal, what it does is really motivate you because you get a real sense of it with all your senses. And also it's quite motivating. So you can do this, you know, quite often.
So we're still on evidence?
We're on the evidence, yeah.
Okay, all right. So this is not exactly evidence because it hasn't happened yet. This is...
No, we imagine what evidence we would see. So when we get there, we can go, oh, I'm here, I've got it, you know.
Right, but visualising the evidence is quite important.
There's two parts. One is thinking about what you'll see, hear and feel. And then the next part is actually imagining that you've already got it and what are you experiencing then, which could be quite different.
Yeah.
To, you know, writing it out in the future tense as opposed to stepping into it and writing it in present tense. The evidence could be a bit different. So this tells you how that you've reached the goal. And it just makes it more exciting so that you feel motivated. And that's something you can do every day. You know, just imagine that. And then again, that's activating the RAS at the back of your brain. And so you start noticing opportunities. This is why you only need 3 or 4 steps, because if you try and plan every single thing out, you've kind of focused on the steps that you've taken, and you might miss opportunities that would get you there 3 times faster.
Mm.
So that's that part. And then you can revisit it. And as you revisit it each time, you might think of a bit more to add in. Oh, you know, I've noticed now that in this goal there's a smell of spring flowers because it's springtime and I'm walking up to the gate to check, see if I've got my exam results. So just little extra things that come in as you think about it, but you have to write it down. So that's fairly short, that one. The first one is the one you've got to get right. You know?
Yeah. Everything flows from there.
Yeah. And then the next one is resources identified. So, you know, what things do you need to help you get the goal? So
I mean, could this scuttle it? You might go through this bit and go, oh, I can't do it. I need to figure something else out for my life, or
well, the resources part, you mean?
Yeah, I haven't got the resources.
Well, it's two parts to it. There's what you've already got, and then what you need.
Okay.
So the first part then is what resources have you already have? So it might be getting a new job. Might be resources I have. I've got 6 years of experience in this field. I've got a great portfolio of my work. Or I got a recognised qualification, got good written references. A couple of people in senior management here have volunteered to give me references. So those are all resources, right? Things that you might need to obtain might be, well, I need to get my new CV done. It'd be a good idea to start looking online at job sites and perhaps checking with some of my social media contacts. I need to find out about public transport or... otherwise, I can get to work each day. So if you've got a car, that's fine. That's a resource. A car is a resource to get somewhere. I know somebody that works at a certain place. I might ask them if there's any jobs available. A positive mindset is a resource. You know, if you're always thinking everything turns to custard for me, then that's not really a positive,
yeah.
a positive resource. And the law of attraction, I mean, we talked about this last time, states that like attracts like. So if you have a negative thought, then that's going to attract another negative thought and another negative thought. And if you have a positive thought, that'll attract another positive thought. So revisiting your goal and making sure that it's positively stated is going to kind of invigorate you to pursue it more. Let's have a look here. What have I got?
We're at P-E-R.
Yeah, we're up to let's skip to the next one. So there's a bit more on that, but it's not. I'm aware of the time.
What was R again? Just say what it was.
Resources.
Oh, yeah, resources. Okay, yeah.
Usually things, but it also could be like, well, I've got a. Let's say you're going to study something. Well, I've got a desk, but what I need to do is organise somewhere quiet that I can study, or I'm. Oh, I think I need some headphones so that I don't hear the kids running around while I'm doing it. Or I need to let everybody know that I'm going to be studying for this time during, you know, from 5 till 7 every day or something. Yeah. So all those things. So it's kind of like setting yourself up for success rather than failure. Because every time we fail, it knocks our confidence.
Mm.
You let me go, oh, yeah, I tried that last year and it didn't work because we didn't do it properly. And so then you give up doing it because setting goals because they don't work. Whereas what it is you haven't set the goal properly in the first place.
Mm.
So the next one then is the F. It's the first few actions identified. So you don't need to define every step along the journey. You just need the first three or four anyway. And then, as I say, because you have written your goal out and you focused on it, then when you've done each step, the next step will become apparent, and then you just do that step and the next one. Or you might get, oh, I can do these three things next, and you write those down, and then you do those. And because you've got an open mind and you're not focused on these 27 steps I have to get to the goal, which means that you're like really focused in foveal vision, you miss opportunities that would get you there quicker. Like you might just meet somebody having a coffee and they go, oh, I can help you with that. You know, I've got blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, my God, you know, I've taken this giant leap.
And 27 steps sounds a little overwhelming as
exactly,
well,
Exactly. So you don't want that. You only want, you know, 3 or 4.
I mean, how specific does that first goal have to be? Because part of the problem that we've talked about right at the start is people have big, vague, airy-fairy goals and you've got to be precise about it. But also the steps, like how precise does the step get?
No, the step just needs to be, it could be like each day you could go, okay, what's the next step on this goal?
Okay.
It's like, okay, well, I need to ring somebody. And that might be all you have to do. Because people that usually have more than one goal as well that they're working on. So it might be, okay, today I need to ring so-and-so. And then the next day it might be, okay, I need to follow up with somebody about this. Or I'll ring my mate that's got a job at this place that I quite fancy working and see if there's any vacancies.
Yeah.
Or get hold of, find out if he knows who the HR manager is, then I can contact them. You know, it could be something really simple. It doesn't have to be like write a 400-page essay, you know.
No, you don't exhaust yourself.
Yeah, that's right. So then the next one is the next E, which is energy, effort and enthusiasm. So this is about, you know, if you've got a goal that's going to take a while, so, you know, worthwhile goals usually take more than a week, you know, so you're going to be focused on them, then you've got to make sure that you can keep your energy and your effort going, that you don't just get yourself worn out with trying to achieve this goal. And if you've had an exhausting and emotional day and you've been knocked back or you're feeling under the weather, you know, it's not always easy to feel enthused or summon up the energy to pursue your goal, is it? You know, and stay motivated. So you need to set up some things to for when those times happen, because they happen to everybody. You know, it's like, oh, well, I was going to do this today and I haven't done it. So, okay, I'll put it in my diary tomorrow. But you don't have to beat yourself up because you haven't done something, you know. It's like, I say, one negative thought attracts another. So what you want to do is think about being in a good state, because this is your emotional, physical state, because that determines what you can accomplish. But your behaviours are driven by your thinking. So your thinking, the way you think drives your state. So if you're thinking negatively, then, you know, and you're beating yourself up, you're not going to be feeling in a good state. So your thinking drives your state, and then your state drives your behaviour. So thinking positively to yourself is going to help you feel in a better state. And then if you're in a better state, you'll be more driven to, you know, to take the next step on your goal.
It can be challenging when you're looking for work. Well, it used to be in the past when I was young anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what it would be like now if I had to look for work. I'd probably have very specific ideas.
What was challenging about it?
Oh, because you get knocked back more than you get said, yes, I've got a job ready for you. Yeah.
And so, so that's the thing is then, so what are you going to do when you get knocked back? So this is what this part's about.
Yeah.
So when you're going to get knocked back, are you going to start beating yourself up because you didn't get it? Or are you going to go, well, okay, I didn't get that one. So maybe I could do a different accompanying letter when I send the CV off, or maybe I need to adjust some things in my CV, or ask the company for feedback on why you didn't get it. Or you might find that when you went for the interview, you go, I don't really want to work for this company anyway. You know, they've got these values that they're not behaving in alignment with their values, and I'm not sure that I want to work there anymore. But you don't know that necessarily until you've been for an interview, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might decide that you don't want the job, or you might think, oh, I want the job because I want a job, but it's not really the job that you want. But if you were offered it, you'd take it. And then when you don't get it, you're kind of like, oh, that's a relief, really, because I didn't really want it. If I'm honest, I didn't really want that job once I'd been for the interview. So it's about being gentle with yourself as well, but also, you know, becoming aware of your thinking and your physiology, like how you are in your body, and doing something to change it if you're not feeling, if you're feeling a bit down, like getting up and dancing for 5 minutes, you know. To your favourite music, singing as well is good.
Okay,
changing that, right? Controlling your breathing can help.
Oh, for a second, I thought we'd got to C there.
No, we're not quite there. Nearly.
Controlling your breathing, yeah.
Balanced breathing is quite key. So you're breathing into roughly a count of six and out to a count of six. And then it's kind of like dealing with obstacles and distractions, because, you know, obstacles come out of left field. I mean, when I draw, you know, when people are setting a goal, I go, this is how people think. So you imagine, a circle, say on a whiteboard, right? And then there's a straight line to another circle, which is your goal, right? And they go, oh, I'm here, and that's the goal. And they think it's going to be a straight line.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It goes like forward and then backwards and loops back, and then you seem to be back at the start again, and then you start off again, and there's a loop going. It goes all over the place because it's not straightforward. And so you have to recognise that there will be obstacles and distractions. You know, like COVID was a distraction. You know, people had goals and then all of a sudden, well, you can't go anywhere now. You have to stay home. So, you know, nobody could control that. Well, the government maybe, but, you know, individuals couldn't. They had to stay home. So that's something. How do you cope with things like that? And so you'd ask yourself, well, how can I resolve this problem and still achieve my goal? And what do I need to change to overcome the obstacle? Who can I talk to help, you know? How would somebody you admire, how would they resolve the problem? How can I think about this in a different way? And then distractions as well. So they can take the form of watching television.
There's so many distractions on the internet now.
Yeah, social media, yeah. Getting overwhelmed by too many goals. Getting overwhelmed by creating too many steps. Which you talked about before, you only need three or four.
Yeah.
Listening to negative people. So, you know, I always say to people, they say, who do you tell about your goal? And I go, well, it's up to you, but you don't need to tell anybody necessarily unless you want their help. But if you tell somebody what your goal is and they scoff at it, or they don't want you to do it, then don't tell them anymore. Because there's people that they don't want you to have your goal because it means that your relationship with them will change. And that means they have to change, and they don't want to change, so they don't want you to achieve your goal because that'll affect them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I know when I've had goals in the past, I don't tend to tell people. Also, telling people about it, it takes some of the energy away from it as well.
Yeah, and so if you've got someone that's really supportive and you know they're going to be supportive, that's fine, you know, because they might say, oh, you know, if you're having a down day, that you can ring them and say, I'm having a really down day with this. And they go, oh, come on, you know, you can do it. You did this before, and they'll buoy you up, and that's good. But if you start to tell somebody about your goal and you see them switch off, then you just don't bother telling them anymore because They're not your tribe. They're not the people that are going to support you. They're going to detract from you getting there.
Yeah.
And that, remember as well, if you get that response, that those are their issues, not yours.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't want you to change because they like you just as you are, and if you achieve the goal, you change. So it's about their stuff, not yours. So then it's just about maintaining optimism and, getting back on track, stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, anybody that's setting a goal is going to be stepping out of the comfort zone. And as you step out of your comfort zone expands. And that's what the detractors don't like, you see, because you're going to get further and further out of your comfort zone and they might not be able to relate to you anymore if you step so far out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And also thinking about, achieving it now, because there'll become a time in your life when things that you wanted to do, you'll regret not having done them because now you can't do them because you haven't got the physical capability to do them or the brain power to do it or whatever. So regretting things that you didn't do can cause profound sadness and even grief.
Mm.
So
this is still E, energy?
Pardon? This is still E, yeah, energy, effort and enthusiasm.
Energy, effort and enthusiasm. Yeah.
Then getting over fear of failure or success. So some people don't realise that, what's it going to be when you're successful? And this comes back to the evidence, So they go, I won't have any friends. So that's not going to drive them to achieve the goal if they're not going to have any friends.
Well, if you're surrounded by negative people, then probably.
They're going to make some new ones along the way.
Yeah, well, that'll happen, yeah.
Yeah. So getting out of the comfort zone. And putting off procrastination. Yeah.
That's a clever phrase, Steph.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Putting off procrastination. So procrastination is a big deal for some people.
Well, it's
a whole other chat, isn't it?
It's what?
It's a whole other chat.
It's another chat. Sometimes it's procrastination. Sometimes it's just that they keep doing the same thing over and over again and they need to start in a different place. But and sometimes it's like they haven't identified the values of the goal and let their gut brain know, because the gut brain is responsible for motivation and actually doing something. So if people aren't doing something, sometimes it's about, well, does your gut know what's important to you about this goal? I won't go into that. Maybe we could talk about this another time. But when your gut understands why you want the goal, it'll move, it'll help you get there.
So we've got a few minutes to do C and T for the perfect goal setting system.
Yeah, that's right.
If you just tuned in, we're talking to Stephanie Philp. The acronym PERFECT is an easy to memorize system of achieving goals that Steph's written up. So C, what's C? I'm forcing you to jump to C. Were you ready for that?
Yeah, well, C and T are quite short. So it's kind of like just sticking with what we're on, the energy and effort. It's like you could have an accountability partner.
Yeah.
You could set up a mastermind group so you're helping each other. Mm. You could get a coach to help you, especially if it's a big goal, you want some help. Set up some systems that are going to work for you. And so then we're on to the C, which is compatibility, commitment and choice. So this is easy, really. It's got to make sure that you really want the goal. Does it fit with all the other different aspects of your life? Because if it doesn't, you're not going to achieve it.
Mm.
So
people have goals like that.
Yeah, they do. So let's see if I've got an example. The example I gave before of the guy that wanted to go to – well, he said he wanted to go to university and study accounting, but he didn't really. That was somebody else's goal.
Yeah.
But if it's incompatible, like what's an incompatible goal? So somebody who wants to be fit and healthy no, that's not a good one. I can't think of one at the moment. So it might be that they're setting a goal to, like, let's say they're going to run every night for an hour every night. But that doesn't actually fit with their family, because the person needs to maybe look after the children for an hour every night. Mm. So that could be, that's an example of an incompatible goal. So what they want doesn't fit with the rest of their life. But it's something that they've always wanted. They might have wanted it and then realised, oh, actually, I don't really want that now because I'm past it, But they're still holding it in the mind and it's taking up energy even though they've moved on. So it's like, why do you want the goal? it's got to be something that feels compelling and motivating. The goal can feel like an end in itself, but underlying it, it might be something that's incompatible. So you could ask, why do I want the goal? And then if you have that, what will that give me? That's even more important. And you can keep asking that question and you get to like a bigger goal. So this is some examples of that in my book. So then sometimes you need to upgrade your beliefs and sense of identity to achieve a goal. So for instance, if you weigh 150 kilos and your goal is to achieve a weight of 75 kilos, that's going to take quite an attitude adjustment. Mm. So basically anyone in this situation will be losing half of themselves, right? So who are they going to be when they're this other person? So they have to focus on being a new person. Somebody who's a smoker, and, you know, people who have smoked and then don't smoke, they'll say, I'm a non-smoker, whereas people who have never smoked, like me, I never say I'm a non-smoker because it doesn't even enter my psyche, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So
if you have to say you're not something, then yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they might talk about, I love to eat healthily, or I love to run, or I'm a runner, or I'm strong and motivated. So this is at a whole new level of changing your identity. So who will you be when you have this goal, or who do you need to be now to achieve this goal?
Because what happens if it's not part of your identity?
Well,
you're trying to achieve a goal that doesn't fit with who you think you are.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what I mean. So you have to change who you are to fit the goal.
Will it just not work? Otherwise,
I think it'll be a struggle. And again, you end up with that losing it and putting it on again, losing it and putting it on again.
Yeah.
So focusing on who will I need to be to achieve this goal is important, and then being committed to it. You know, each step should be maybe challenging but not overwhelming, because that's just too stressful. And if it feels overwhelming, then you can break it down into smaller portions. And then making sure that it's your choice rather than somebody else's choice, like this guy's parents wanted him to do this. And then the last one is timed and dated. So you set a specific date, including the year, because your mind is always going to put it in the future if you don't put the year in.
Yeah.
And some goals you might know that it's a specific date. Like if your goal is to pass an exam, you might know that you'll get the results of that exam on such and such a day. So you can put the whole date in. Other ones, it might be a bit more vague, so you're going to set it and give yourself a time limit on it.
Well, if you set the wrong time, that could be a little bit overwhelming as well.
It could be, but yeah, if you set it too close.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is with you could set intermediary steps, you know, with dates for that. As long as you're moving forward, the dates, you know, if you go past the date, I don't think it's going to matter that much, because you can see yourself moving towards it, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, as you start moving towards it, you might think, oh, I need to set it out a bit further. This was unrealistic. You know, I need to set it further out.
Yeah.
And then that's it, basically. Set the time. Set the time, and depending on your goal, start working on it using those processes.
So is this what you do, or is this what you worked out that you were doing as you wrote this book?
Both, really. So there is a process in NLP, but I thought there were some things missing, and I also wanted to incorporate the law of attraction ideas into it, which is in the book as well. And so when, you know, I think I talked about it this last time, I've got a course coming up on the 7th and 8th of December called Create Your Future Now. So it includes some goal setting, but not to the extent that it is in the book. But people can, you know, buy the book or set the goal. But also then it's about using the law of attraction to incorporate it into your goal setting to get what you want. And so that includes some NLP stuff. It includes some law of attraction stuff, manifestation, all stuff that I've learned for the last 30-odd years, basically.
So at the start, you said that you've been in business for 30 years now, almost to the month.
Yeah.
Did you have goals for that when you went into business?
I didn't. I just was like, I just want to work for myself.
Right.
And I want to do coaching and I want to do training, that's all. And at the time I was training dogs as well with a friend in the evening.
Right.
And I'd done training, you know, as an HR manager, but I didn't want to do all the legislative work that's involved in HR with, the electrical industry. There's loads of restrictions in that. And
yes.
Then all the employing people stuff. I didn't want to do that, and health and safety, I didn't want to do that, but I did like to, I did want to train people and I wanted to coach people, so I knew that that's what I wanted to do, but I hadn't really done any of this at that point.
How did it work out?
Well, I'm still in business in 30 years. There's not that many people that have been in business that long, you know. There's a lot of people gone out of business in the last few years, and while the last couple have been pretty hard, I'm still here.
Right.
Talking to you, talking to me.
What would you do? What would you do anyway?
What would I do anyway? I don't know. I'm probably unemployable now.
Actually, that's what I worry about me as well. Be like, you want me to do what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a better way. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, try it like this.
So that's hopefully that's useful for people that's thinking of setting goals. And I say the book's available. In fact, there is some stuff about goal setting on the website, insideyourmind.com, if you just put goal setting in.
Yeah.
The book, it actually says on there that you can't buy it from me now because I thought I'd sold them all, but then I found 18 copies. So I've got 18 copies left, and they're available at Maid and at the iHub, and I've got some at home, but it doesn't say that on the website because I had to have it changed a few weeks ago. Thought I'd sold them all.
Right,
so,
you found some more.
Yeah, 18.
Are you going to do another print run then?
Well, it was quite expensive to do a print run in New Zealand, and basically, if people are buying books on Amazon now, they can get them cheaper than they could when I got these ones. And if they buy more than one book, you know, sometimes you can get free delivery, you know. So these were printed in New Zealand, and they've got, you know, better quality paper and all that kind of stuff. The ones from Amazon are like, you know, their newsprint paper.
Yeah.
So I think these are nicer. But yeah, so there's only 18 left, apart from whatever Maid and the iHub have got. But it's and the other thing is, if you go onto the website, there's the key points of this that they can download, because at the back of the book, you can fill in the back of the book with your goal. But some people don't like writing in the book, so I created a workbook that people can download and fill in.
Yeah, it feels wrong to write.
Yeah, exactly. And other people go, oh, no, I'm always writing my book. So they can get the workbook for free on the website, insideyourmind.com.
Yeah. All right, Steph. Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.